Alex Glewis here, and today I'm speaking with Rob Bromage, who is the CEO of IntelliHR, which is an HR tech business based in Brisbane, which sells a cloud-based platform for managing staff and data. It's a small company with a market cap of around $50 million, but its share price jumped from 7 cents to as high as 32 cents on the recent news that tech investor Bevan Slattery had invested $2.5 million in the company. With many companies both here in Australia and around the globe operating from home, Rob tells me that COVID has provided an opportunity for the business, and there's been quite a lot of interest in it. The technology also gives Rob a unique insight into how employees and HR teams are dealing with the remote working situation during COVID, so he shares his thoughts on that too. So here's Rob Bromage, the CEO of IntelliHR. Well, thanks for joining us, Rob. It really seems as though COVID lockdowns have provided a good opportunity for your HR technology. Could you start off by giving us some detail around how the technology actually works?
Yeah, for sure. IntelliHR is an Australian HR tech business, and we have always built the application to service a global marketplace. And specifically why we went about a global marketplace is their distributed workforces. So, you know, when you're actually looking after a workforce that spans multiple countries, you can't see them. So having a tech piece in there to support better communication and more meaningful conversations around performance and alignment is really essential. And, you know, the global pandemic is a health crisis, but it has also meant that every business is now also a distributed workforce business. So it's really brought IntelliHR to the forefront in around enabling and supporting businesses and helping them look after their people through these difficult times.
And what sort of interest have you received in the last 6 months with COVID obviously forcing so many businesses and their employees to work remotely?
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably been one of the most pivotal times in the history of our organisation. And I'll be honest, it's actually one of the most proudest moments of, you know, for myself as the leader of the organisation. You know, the first thing we saw when actually the pandemic actually hit is this incredible disruption to every single business and really needing to fundamentally change their business models and find a way to run their businesses with people working from home. So, you know, at that point, from a commercial organisation, we realised that, you know, we needed to support our existing customers with tools to support them through these times, but also wanted to actually provide an opportunity, you know, for businesses that might not be in a place to actually financially procure technology to support them to actually look after them as well. So we actually created a freemium product, which was a COVID-19 HR Essentials platform, you know, rolled out straight away into our existing customer portfolio, but we made it available to any business that needed help. Our company essentially, you know, doubled, I suppose, you know, very quickly, you know, through the pandemic because, you know, businesses needed our tooling. So it's just been incredible growth for the organisation. Just in the space of 6 weeks, I think we added an extra 50 customers and, you know, it took us almost 3 years to get to 100 and 6 weeks to add another 50 in very quick succession.
So how has that increased demand translated into your financial results? Are you performing better than you otherwise would have if COVID hadn't occurred?
That's actually a really good question, Alex. Like, if I look at our growth at a customer and a paying customer, we maintained our growth in the second half of the financial year, consistent with the first half. And, you know, certainly we would have liked to have accelerated a lot further in that sort of last half. But I think in the conditions to maintain growth levels and continue to build on top of an existing, you know, growing sort of customer portfolio, we were very happy with that. But on top of that, then to add, you know, an additional, you know, 49-50 odd, you know, freemium sort of customers, it really provides us an incredible launch pad, you know, as business actually returns, you know, with confidence and starts to invest into, you know, technology and infrastructure to support a new way of working. On the cash receipt side, you know, we've done incredibly well. So we've, you know, almost tripled our cash receipts year on year. And, you know, the growth that we've had within our revenue, I think it's in the 160%+ sort of mark. You know, we've continued on at quite a positive growth level, you know, albeit we would have certainly liked to have grown a little bit faster if for not, you know, the global pandemic.
And just with some of the actual systems, I guess, that IntelliHR provides. I was interested by the automated wellness check-ins, which you describe as using to check on employee morale. I assume things like that, are they targeted at larger organisations who might have more trouble connecting with employees, particularly in lockdown? Is that who you're trying to target with this technology?
Yeah, I think IntelliHR from the outset was always about, if you employ people, then you need our system. And I suppose we kind of position ourselves a little bit like the general ledger for people for organisations. You know, certainly through times, and you know, we've recently conducted a global survey and found that, you know, wellness is still the number one priority for every business. But you know, built into IntelliHR's capability is a continuous sort of check-in with staff to ensure that leaders are connected with their team members and maintaining an open dialogue in around wellness and actually how they're actually going. So, you know, the wellness capabilities within IntelliHR are very practical around, you know, connecting people to make sure that people are actually being looked after. And, you know, we do wrap that up with, you know, so I suppose some really good aggregation of data and some sophisticated tools like predictive sentiment analysis, so that organisations can actually see where problems are and where they can actually intervene to help people. Your wellness is just one of those things, but it's also a very, you know, top priority for business. The type of organisation that we appeal to, you know, in the past is a distributed workforce. So if you can't see your people and, you know, you need a piece of, you know, technology to improve communication and keep that sort of, you know, continuously sort of going, and that's where we add the most value. And, you know, we've certainly seen larger enterprises struggle more with that through these times, just because of the sheer size of those businesses. You know, so we do have obviously an appeal to a larger enterprise. And if anything, over the last sort of 6 to 12 months, that's probably been one of the themes trending within the business, pandemic or not. But you know, we've been appealing to organisations that are employing large, you know, people up around, you know, the 1 to 2,000 employee sort of headcounts, and even through our pipeline, you know, coming through organisations that are employing 7 to 10,000 employees.
And just on your financial year 20 results, I think you reported a loss of around 4.8 million. Is there a goal for a specified time period when you think you might turn profitable?
The business has always been focused on getting to a position of demonstrating cash flow positive, you know, and certainly that's something from a budget perspective and a management of the organisation. You know, we've been very focused on ensuring that, you know, we had that runway all the way through. You know, there's not a defined period. We're investing in growing the business at pace, you know. So from a, I suppose, a cost base perspective, you know, we've reasonably demonstrated that we've got a reasonably sort of fixed cost base, you know, now. You know, we've reached that sort of critical mass of a business that we actually require to be able to execute our business plans. And, you know, we're continuing to invest in scale opportunities. So, you know, an example of that is the establishment of a team in Toronto in Canada. And we're very focused on accelerating growth through North America and servicing a larger market than purely the Australian New Zealand marketplace.
And earlier this year, you announced a $5.5 million capital raising. Sorry, earlier this month.
Yes.
What's the fresh capital going to be used for? Is it all to do with that growth and expansion that you just mentioned?
Yeah, I think, you know, the IntelliHR has now got two very prominent cornerstone investors. And, you know, the first being Collinton Capital, which came into the business in December last year. And, you know, the recent capital raising was very opportunistic in the sense that, you know, we've now have another large cornerstone investor in Bevan Slattery, who has got to be one of Australia's most successful tech entrepreneurs on a global footing. So, you know, with that, you know, comes a lot of endorsement in around the business model, everything that we've been building to, you know, to date. But yes, additional capital. You know, the business was in a position where it had sufficient cash reserves to actually, you know, work its way through to a cash flow position. And this is all growth capital. So it's not stay in business capital. It's growth in terms of how we actually expand and increase the scale of the actual business, with a particular focus of what we're actually going to be doing in Northern America. So very nice timing and an incredible endorsement, and certainly lifts the morale within the business, but has also given us a lot of confidence in terms of the direction of the organization.
You have businesses using your platform in 18 countries. So you've talked about North America there, and Australia's been a focus. Are you looking to expand elsewhere too? Are there other opportunities?
Yeah, the business has now got customers obviously out of Australia, New Zealand, and also domiciled into the US specifically, by positioning a sales team into North America, specifically Toronto and Canada there. We now expand our sales clock to pretty well 21 hours in that regard. And, just adding North America as a market increases our addressable market by 15 times. So, we've expanded the potential for IntelliHR, which is really exciting. The plan has always been to extend into Europe as well. We're tracking a little bit behind where we would like to be in terms of, getting into Toronto, and that's been really, symptomatic of the global pandemic actually slowing our ability down to travel. But we've still found a way to employ resources and a sales team in Canada, so we can actually get our momentum sort of moving. But once we've got a nice established runway with what we're doing in North America, we'll certainly be turning our sights to Europe.
And just on that, can you explain a bit about how your revenue model actually works? Are all your customers subscription based, or is there a certain proportion that are one-off customers?
No, majority of our customers, actually all but one, are monthly subscription based. That means basically for every person employed within their business, they're paying IntelliHR a monthly subscription fee is how that actually works. So when we do talk about subscribers, essentially that translates to every person, working within that organization. And that's a really, exciting revenue model, and also a little bit why we've been very successful with a net revenue retention rate of 113%. Our platform is about supporting businesses, through performance enablement and, helping them to create a culture based on continuous feedback and giving them the data that they actually need to improve their businesses. So, we've got a very good track record of supporting businesses growing in that regard.
And what price are you selling the technology at? Because I understand there's a number of different plans you offer over different time periods.
Yeah. This year we've introduced a value-based pricing model. So traditionally we had actually sold the platform as all-in-one, and here is the platform. This is what you require. We've identified customer needs specifically in around feedback, specifically also in around performance enablement, and then we've preserved the full program in around a strategic HR platform. So we do have three different plans. So at a feedback level. And we have that plan as Feedback Essentials. Australian customers can get that product for $6 per person per month. The Performance Enablement product, Australian customers can get that for $10 per person per month, and the Full Strategic HR platform at $16 per person per month. In addition, the business also charges an implementation fee, so we have professional services around onboarding customers and ensuring that the platform is configured and set up so that they get the best value as quickly as they possibly can from the actual platform as well. And that ranges depending on size of business, but typically from just under $10,000 per implementation. And the professional services is also an area where we've seen significant growth, but particularly in the past year, and we also see that will continue into financial year 2021.
And how does that offering compare to what your competitors are offering? Who are you competing with, and how is the IntelliHR offering a superior offer?
Yeah, I think we compete with different parts of the market. So at an enterprise level, we would be competing with a SAP or a Workday or an Oracle, PeopleSoft or a Cornerstone, for example. From a pricing perspective, we're quite competitive with a similar solution that's quicker to be implemented, and quicker to value, essentially. So, we have a number of points of difference at that sort of enterprise level. There's a range of other customers in the mid-market, but again, that's where we're more like-for-like price, but have what we see as a superior product and a more alignment to customer needs. So, at the end of the day, price is obviously very important to customers, and we look to price appropriately with the organisations.
And you're getting quite a lot of insight from a number of employees across a number of organisations across the world. So What have you been seeing in terms of what's going on through COVID in terms of employee morale and how HR teams are having to adjust to the circumstances?
Yeah, it's got to be one of the most interesting periods of my career, to be quite frank. Businesses or countries have gone through the similar type of problems at different stages, which and kind of responded in a very similar way. But at the moment, across the globe, everyone's at a different stage combating the same issues. At an employee level, there's just been a continued focus of organisations in around wellness and, people first, which, is really the most important thing, particularly when we're faced with a global health crisis. So that focus on looking after people, wellness, and checking in. And if I'm to be, critical, what we saw particularly through some of the latest research is organisations have focused very well on their team members, but have forgotten a little bit about their leaders. So I think it's a little bit of making sure that organisations, look after their leaders and make sure that they've considered their wellness as much as their broader teams. The second thing that businesses have started to focus on more so now has been more performance enablement. So, they've gone through the shock of responding to a very big disruption within their businesses, which has meant people have had to work from home. There's been a lot of people impacted through needing to stand down or not able to actually work, or industries that are affected and effectively shut down. But in addition to that, finding a way forward and starting to focus back on performance. So how do we actually start to enable performance in our organisation whilst maintaining that flexibility that people actually still need, because they may be locked down, they may be homeschooling, and they may not actually have all the tools that they would normally have at work to actually do their job. So I think we've still got a bit of a road to go in terms of, seeing some sort of normality or a new normal, so to speak. Obviously within Australia, Victoria and specifically Melbourne is doing it really tough in stage four lockdown. So, it's adapting to those sort of conditions. And I think businesses are being very respectful of looking after their people and whilst trying to maintain their sustainability and relevance moving forward.
Do you think these changes that HR teams have had to make during this time will be a permanent thing, or do you think things might return to normal once COVID is over?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Alex. I don't see we will return 100% to the way things were prior, to the global pandemic. I think the World Health Organization has indicated that, it'll be two more years, we'll have this sort of beat in another 2 years. I think, for the next 2 years, if we're operating in similar type of conditions, it's certainly going to be disruptive enough that it actually affects a permanent change. So I do see people will look to enjoy the level of flexibility, that they've experienced by working from home and fitting work a little bit more in around personal lives versus the other way. I've seen a lot of businesses, including ours, that have actually, seen an opportunity to reduce cost base, changing the way we actually do business. And, we don't travel to customer sites to do, in-person demonstrations. And, we're not spending 3-4 days on site with customers anymore to manage their implementations sessions and facilitate, you know, in-person group workshops, you know, which really reduce the cost base of our business and have allowed us to actually go faster. So I am very confident a lot of other businesses have been forced to adapt or change or streamline their processes and, you know, will be, you know, looking to retain those kind of cost efficiencies, you know, moving forward. So I do think there'll be a permanent change. I think there will be a blend of, you know, I suppose a full distributed workforce, but returning to office. You know, businesses still need to find ways to bring people together to maintain their cultures and maintain that open communication that, yes, you can do that through collaboration tools or, you know, through, you know, virtual meetings and so forth, but nothing still beats, you know, talking to people in person and interacting with your teammates in person. So there's still going to be that involved. Just what shape or form that looks like into the future is probably still to be determined.
Yeah, and just on your share price, it's been an interesting ride, I guess, having stayed pretty low since 2019, and then it recently had that big jump from 7 cents to as high as 32 cents after the news of Bevan Slattery's investment. Why do you think the market specifically reacted so positively to that news?
Yeah, I think you know, a couple of reasons. Number one, Bevan's interest in the company, and you know, I think you know, his quote that he gave me that I shared with the business, and again, I think it just really sums up our scenario. But you know, for the last 5 years, we've been working really hard and paddling out for a big wave, and along has come a tsunami. So you know, it's reflective that the vision of the business to support people in a distributed way and to help organisations connect and improve communication between team members and leaders and the visibility of people data, you know, is now more relevant than ever because you can't see your workforce. You know, so where we're positioned as an organisation to, you know, support businesses with what has been, I think, one of the biggest jolts and disruptors in not only business, but you know, general, you know, community, you know, the business is very well positioned to support people work through that and also come out of it. In terms of the organisation, I think it's also been the reality that with the way we've managed our financial position and have positioned the organisation, particularly to try and work through to cash flow positive, and then having that additional capital come on top of what we've actually got. You know, we're not a business that the market is assuming we may be looking for stay in business capital. You know, the capital that's come in is growth capital, and you know, the financial security of the business is very evident that we're in a very strong position to continue our you know, execution of our business plan, but also to aggressively grow on top of that as we see opportunities to take advantage. Yeah, we're in a very exciting place with, you know, two very strong cornerstone investors in Bevan and Slattery, but also Collington Capital, and a very motivated workforce that has responded incredibly well through a global pandemic to support existing customers, but also a general community.
And just finally, could you give us a bit of a run through of what you're expecting over the next 6 to 12 months, I guess? What's in the pipeline and what should investors look out for?
Yeah, look, we've worked very hard, Alex, to protect our sales pipeline, and you know, we do have a very healthy pipeline of potential customers moving through sales processes. You know, the type of customer that we've been working with more recently is becoming larger and also more enterprise. You know, which means our average customer values, you know, hopefully will be on the march in the north direction. We've worked very hard to expand the market reach of IntelliHR, and you know, from the outset, you know, we've always positioned as a global business, you know, wanting to deal with global customers, and we've now positioned ourselves very well to support, you know, one of the largest markets in the world in North America, and we're now about two to 3 months and actually building up our sales pipeline in that space. Over the last 12 to 18 months, the business has been very focused on its product and maturity of our SaaS business model, with the introduction of a value-based pricing model, giving customers a choice of three plans that suit, you know, the needs and the solutions that they're actually looking for, so they can come into IntelliHR, you know, in some cases on a lower price point, but actually grow with IntelliHR as their businesses grow and the sophistication or the businesses are ready to adopt, you know, newer technologies in around their HR practices. And probably the final thing is that the business, you know, with the introduction of the COVID HR Essentials platform, leveraged a freemium model to support the community, but also provide a new way that we can actually interact with customers before becoming a paying customer. And, you know, the business is building an evergreen freemium product, you know, that will actually allow IntelliHR to very quickly and cost-effectively onboard larger customers onto our platform with a view for them to actually grow through the plans that we actually offer. So, you know, we've built a very sophisticated business model that combines, both a land and expand strategy, but a very solutions-based approach to solving our customers' needs.
Great to chat, Rob. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Alex. Great to be here.
That was Rob Bromage, the CEO of IntelliHR.